We probably all ought to confess, how many of you have ignored the GPS in your life at times, huh? I was thinking about how many experiences I've had with Cindy. I'm amazed we're still married. How many times that I've been in the car, she says, you should go that way. She says, no, I'm going this way. Even though even the lady in the car was saying, go left. So hopefully we all think about that in light of what we look at today. Turning the right way, seeking God first. And I want you to imagine for a moment that you begin to look at your life and you start thinking about how many right turns did I make, how many turns did I make that missed God's best for my life, and you reflect back and you see that some of those were directly linked to a lack of priority in what he wanted to accomplish to you, a lack of what focus regarding how he's going to turn you a certain way, and as a result, you missed it. And it's interesting because this week I had the privilege of sharing the gospel in Romania and impacting people there, and nine people gave their heart to Christ on Sunday night when I was preaching, and I was watching as the gospel unfolded and several others were saved while we were there. But I was watching an experience with an interaction one-on-one with the guy. And I asked him, I said, what do you want to accomplish this year in your life? What is your number one goal? And I'll never forget it because he looked at me and said, I would like to learn how to follow Jesus. Well, when he said that, my first thought was, wow, this is profound acknowledgement. Because the truth is, it's interesting. You can confess him and not follow him. You can end up experiencing less than what God intended. And I was reading one of my new friends from Africa who was a part of our trip to Tanzania, one of the pastors there, wrote me a note this week while I was meditating on what we're going to look at today. And he wrote the note and he said, the reality is that most people are crucified between two thieves, yesterday and tomorrow. And as he wrote that note to me, I thought, that's the truth. We regret what we didn't accomplish yesterday, and we're challenged about what we're going to face tomorrow, and we miss this day that God has for us. And that's why, as you turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, just for a moment, I want us to take just a second to pick up on what Pastor Ron shared last week, but also to pick up on this thought, because what I want you to get in your mind is, if I come to a place where I know how to seek him first, where he's the ultimate priority, and everything else plays out in a fantastic way. It's a beautiful symphony of God's design. But if you misplace the instruments that guide your life, if you misplace that musical part of who you are, that God has a great, great melody for your life, it comes down to why Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Look at it with me. It's just for a moment. But seek first the kingdom, his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, when Jesus says this, he's obviously realizing that there's one thing that can get the best of us almost every moment of our lives, and that is when we get anxious about things. And what Jesus was trying to get across was, if you get past your anxiety, if you get past the things that capture you and make you anxious, you can see what it is I want to do through you. And that's why he said, seek the kingdom and his righteousness. And we're going to see this in a few weeks. I'm going to come back to these two concepts, because what I want you to see is, as you learn how to seek the right thing and prioritize it in your life, you'll have a totally different focus as the year unfolds. And it's interesting, many of you probably were captured like I to the story of Holly Butcher, an Australian girl who was the epitome of health, was the picture of a young adult enjoying an amazing life until a year ago when diagnosed with a very rare cancer. And that very rare cancer took a beautiful, amazing girl and took her into eternity this week. And I was reading her comments that she had written, that she had said to her parents, don't post this until I'm gone. And two of the things that she said were staggering. The first one was this: every day is a gift. She had realized that every moment she had to live had a value to it. Every day was a gift. And the second thing she said, it was so powerful: stop obsessing over things that don't matter anyway. Can you imagine what would happen if our focus was not obsessively connected to something that doesn't matter anyway into something that ultimately matters forever? I mean, the difference between now and forever is a big gulf. And as I read her story, I began to realize that oftentimes we just have to know to turn the right way. And that's why we find ourselves in a Bible passage. And here's what I want you to see today. Everything about the Bible points us to discovering how to seek Him first. And today we look at a boy named Josiah, who becomes a king at the age of 8. So open your Bible to 2 Kings, all right, chapter 22. And as you're turning there, realize now that here's a story of a boy who got elevated. And you're going to have to stay with me very carefully today, because I'm going to process through several different texts very quickly to make the main point so you don't miss them, okay? Because I want to prepare your hearts to learn how to turn the right way every single time. And you'll see that Josiah learned that, and amazing things happen in his life as a result of that. 2 Kings chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, and the daughter of Adai, of Bozek, all these words. And verse 2. You know what? If I could pronounce all these words well, I'd be a champion of words. But I was going to skip that completely, but I just want to tell you, I can't say any of them correctly. So that way you can see how humble I am as we start this service. Verse 2. He did right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father David, nor did he turn aside to the right or the left. Now notice that phrase. He did not turn away from what God intended to do. He pursued God. He sought him with all of his heart, and God began to use him. Now look at verse 8. Then Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Now, when you read that, you go, wait a minute, now what happened here? All of a sudden, something they had not been able to hold on to or cherish had been put right before them. And scholars believe that it was either the book of Deuteronomy or it was the first 5 books of the Bible that they had. The likelihood is Deuteronomy, because that's where he learned the covenant principles that he ended up instituting as a result of his action. Look on though. I took it to chapter 23, verse 3. The king stood by the pillar, made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandment and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and his soul, to carry out the words of this covenant that were written in this book, and all the people entered into the covenant. Now look on over, if you would, at verse 21, same chapter. Verse 21. 2 Kings 23, verse 21. Then the king commanded all the people, saying, celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God, as is written in this book of the covenant. Surely such a Passover has not been celebrated from the days of the judges who judged Israel, nor in the days of the kings of Israel and of all the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was observed to the Lord in Jerusalem. And then look on down at verse 25. Before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him. Now look at that one more time. Because what he says here is, this guy came into it in such a way that no one was ever like him again. He got it, he understood it, he applied it, he lived it, and it changed the history of those who were connected to him. Now, what I want you to see today is this. He was young, and yet he was very open to what it is God wanted to do in his life. What would happen if all of us just opened our hearts to say, Lord, what would you want to do through me? How do you want to work in my life? What do you want to do through me? And here, what you need to ask yourself this question. Do you grasp the power of doing something right? Because the truth is, if you get what it means to do something right, then you'll think, I'm going to make the next right choice. I'm going to make the next right decision. And for Josiah, all of history around his time were a bunch of wicked kings, a bunch of guys who did not line up to God's best. And it's interesting because in chapter 23, what Josiah does is to get every bit of that stuff out of God's house, remove it all, move it out of the tent. We're not going to see any of it anymore. It's done. And what I want you to see today is this, that as you look at this story, you see a man who starts very young. And you may be saying, well, how do we know what age he was when he did these different things? And I think it's important for us to take a moment to go into Chronicles, okay? So just for a second, turn, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Now, if you're not in the Bible much, I realize I'm passing you over a lot of text and all, but listen, you just seek and find it. You'll find it there, and it'll bless you, okay? Because here's what I want you to see. Sometimes we miss amazing stories. that could set our hearts in motion to accomplish what he intended. And in 2 Chronicles, I want to show you, which, by the way, is the parallel of what happens with Josiah, okay? So you're not looking at something that's disconnected. It's the parallel. But I want you to see something specifically as it relates to age, because here's what I hear sometimes from people. Well, if I were just a little older, or if I were just a little younger, or if I had known more. And what happens is, it's all about our hearts, not our age. But I want to show you what happened. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord, walked in the ways of his father David, and did not turn aside to the right or left. Now notice this, verse 3. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still a youth, he began to seek the God of his father David. Now see that when he says 8th year, we started when he's 8, so at 16. So teenagers, think about this. At 16, here's a guy accomplishing something amazing because he makes the right choice. And I want to encourage all of our students to think about, what if I make the right choice at 16? I'll tell you what happened. You make the right choice at 16, when you're 36, you'll rejoice in it. All right, look on though. Verse 3. For in the 8th year of the reign, which was he was still a youth, he began to seek the Lord. And in, watch this, in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the ashram, the carved images, and the molten images. So watch this, 8, 16, 20, okay? 8, 16, 20. Now look at verse 8. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent for the officials and had them come to be able to recover the money that was needed, that has been given to help rebuild the temple. And it's interesting because by the time he's 26, he has taken care of everything that's in the way of what he's trying to accomplish. He wants to accomplish the people knowing that God is Lord over all, that they should seek him with all their heart. And so I wanted you to see that, because what you see, and by the way, if you want to read uniquely in Chronicles and Kings, you'll discover that Josiah was a unique man who God elevated at a young age and caused him to be able to seek first everything that God had for him. And I want you to think about today, as you think about your own journey, what would happen if you set aside everything that didn't matter and you zeroed in on what does? You stopped and said, you know what, I'm not letting any of that stuff get in my way anymore. I'm not going to let it hang me up. I'm going to experience what God intended. I'll tell you, discover Josiah's model will cause you to learn how to seek him first in everything you do. And so today, as you think about what energizes you, I know for me, as I think about what God wants to accomplish through each one of us, what would happen if each one of us just said, you know what, today I choose to make him first in everything. Which, by the way, Josiah's secret was not his choice just of the Lord. It was his choice to make him first in everything. And so imagine today you sit and say, well, what were his keys? And there are four or five really quick keys I want you to see. Before I bring you this table, because at the table I want you to think about, I want you to hold the bread, and I want you to hold the cup, and I want you to realize Jesus died for you so that he could say to you, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's why he wants you and I to keep him first in everything. All right, so let's look at this passage in Kings, and let's see if we can't discover some of what he wants to get across. The first one is this. In chapter 22, verse 2, the Bible says that he did right in the sight of the Lord, walked in the way of his father David, nor did he turn aside to the right or to the left. Now, if we had time, I would take you back to 1 Kings chapter 13. Because we don't have time, you might want to look at that at another point, because in that passage, there's someone who says Josiah, who, out of the lineage of David, will someday become king. So history says that way before his time, things were set in motion for him to be who God intended for him to be. Watch this carefully. None of you were born by accident. None of you were born in the wrong generation. You were born in this era to be who he wants you to be. All right? So keep that in mind. So if you're born to accomplish his purpose, then you have to say, Lord, what is your purpose for me? And I can tell you, his purpose comes down to Matthew 6:33. Seek him first. You seek his kingdom. You seek his righteousness. So the first thing you see is that when we make simple decisions, sometimes they have lifelong consequences. I want you to imagine that you make a simple decision to just follow him, to let him be first in everything, to let him be the Lord of your life. My wife was sharing me the beautiful story of this week of a little child giving her heart to Jesus at Good News Club. And as she was sharing that story, she was telling me about other kids who had come out of the after the assembly time when they gathered together and were asking her questions. And as she was sharing it, I was like, this is the most mesmerizing thing to me, because it's a simple decision of a child that sets in motion their whole life. And I'm going to tell you what you and I need to discover and rediscover. Our simple decision to trust Him should not be overwhelmed by the details of life. It should be a simple trust that says, Lord, You are Lord of all. You're in charge of everything because I give it to You. And when you do that, something begins to happen inside of you that's powerful. Second thing I want you to see. In chapter 22, verses 8 and 13, you see him making reference that they found this book. They found this book of the Bible. And it so captured Josiah that the Bible says that following this discovery and Josiah putting in motion what needed to transpire, that the Lord saw everything about his choice. Everything about his choice. In fact, the people were wicked. They had found themselves always going after Baal, going after all the Asherim and stuff like that. And the Bible says the Lord said to Josiah, you will never have to face this. And it's interesting. The Lord took him home 4 years before Nebuchadnezzar came and conquered everything. And so you sit and go, wait a minute. So the sequence is I need to make just a few unique discoveries in my life. Because what happens here is that this unique discovery, Josiah had no roadmap to follow other than making it very clear that he knew he wanted to follow the Lord. And I want to challenge you to think about this. What if you rediscovered the power of this book? What if you rediscovered that it speaks to your heart and life, that it challenges you to experience what he intended? What if all of a sudden you didn't have to depend on Google? You depended on the Bible. What if all of a sudden you were connected more to truth than Twitter? What if all of a sudden you began to realize that he has something in store for you that's unique and special? And I'm going to tell you what you discover, and you find this in every person's life. When they surrender their heart and life to the power of this book, their lives begin to change forever. My wife was telling me the story last night as well about someone who had been challenged to read the Bible, and what had happened to the person's life just as a result of reading it. And I want to challenge you. You're on the front side of a new year. We should not be like the 82% of people in our country who claim his name but don't pick the book up between Sunday. That should not be who we are. We as people of one heart ought to be people who pick this book up and read it, not because we have to, but because we want to. And I'm going to tell you what happens to Josiah. He reads this book. They read it to him. And what he does is he tears his clothes, because he realized no one has been willing to do what the Bible said. They ignored it. So you get a unique challenge today. What would happen? And by the way, I'm not challenging you to read through the Bible in a year. I'm challenging you to read the Bible throughout the year. There's a big difference, because if you're just reading a certain number of chapters because you have an obligation instead of the opportunity to hear God speak to you, then you're missing it anyway. And I want to challenge you to think about what happens when you get the chance to be able to say, Lord, your word's going to speak to me. It reshaped everything about Josiah's life because he had God's word. The third thing I want you to see is this. In chapter 23, when Josiah begins to make this covenant, the Bible says that he stood on verse 3, the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and statutes with all his heart and all of his soul. And what happens here is Josiah does something that he establishes an unbreakable covenant. In other words, he says, I'm not ever going to move away from this. And I want you to think about it for a second, because it's like he stands beside a pillar that holds up a building that had lost its purpose. Because it had been, watch this, it had been jeopardized by those who had not sought God first. And what Jesus echoes in Matthew 6 is lived out throughout the Old Testament. Seek first. If you seek him with all your heart, you will find him, which is exactly why we're doing communion today. Seeking him with all of your heart, letting him speak to your heart and life. And so here Josiah, he makes this covenant. And it's interesting, by the way, you shouldn't miss this. And for the very last part of verse 3, and all the people entered into the covenant. So here's what he does. The first thing he says is, I'm in it. I'm in it 100%, no reservation. I'm going for it. I'm going to experience it. And I want to see God do something amazing. And everyone sitting there probably had to sit and go, wow, he's excited. just like the little orphan children I held last week, I had a moment where tears were in my eyes because I was kneeling beside two little 4-year-old boys who have lost sight of where they came from, have no idea where they're going. And I was standing there realizing something. All of us, if we put our hearts into it, He can do amazing things to us with whoever we encounter all over our city. If we just look into people's lives, you know what? I want to show you what God can do. It changes everything. And the truth is that the reality is we're on mission in life, not in a location. We're on mission because of His purpose. And that's exactly what transpires here with Josiah. He, first of all, he says, I'm going to make this deal. And I'm going to tell you what I learned. I grew up at times around some who said it but didn't believe it and didn't live it. And so I made a commitment in my heart way back before I became a pastor. I said, Lord, I'm never going to ask anybody to do anything I wouldn't do myself. And when I think about our impact in our city, our impact through our church, our impact in people's lives, when I think about all that, the thing I would say to you is, if you look at the covenant I made with the Lord, you ought to make it too. You ought to be able to say to Him, Lord, I'm going to do just like my pastor. I'm going to live that out. I'm going to live out the commitment to be an authentic follower of Jesus, committed to changing the world. And it's interesting. Authenticity is not geographical. Authenticity is what's inside of us. And when you get authentic, what happens to you? You just get fired up about life. And it's interesting to me that while I'm in another part of the world ministering, my wife's in the same town we live in ministering, and I look at all the story of all of it, and here's what I discover. When you and I just get obedient to God, He'll direct us in all different ways, in different steps we'll take. But one thing's for certain, He's moving us towards accomplishing His purpose. Because when He's first, we accomplish exactly what He intended. So I want to ask you, when you think about a covenant, it's unbreakable. In other words, for example, a marriage covenant is an unbreakable covenant. It's something established. That's why God said, no one put this asunder. If you think about the reality of how God wants to work in your life, what would happen if you just said, I make a covenant to seek Him first in everything? I'm going to seek Him first whenever I'm going to make a decision, whenever I find myself bound up by something. So, Lord, I'm going to seek You first. I can tell you what happened. We get so energized, we wouldn't know how to live. Because He becomes first. And this morning I woke up 4 a.m. I didn't get out of bed at 4 a.m., but I woke up and time changed, et cetera. And I was laying in that bed, and Cindy was sleeping wonderfully, and I was sitting there thinking, wow, I have this moment to say to the Lord, speak through me today. And as I prayed, I said, Lord, I don't know the answer to everything that everyone's facing, but You do. And what would happen if we just said, Lord, I covenant with You to seek You first in everything? I tell you what happened. Our lives would change forever. Because whenever we face something, first, Jesus first. And what happens is you fall in love more deeply with those that are around you, that are connected to you, and you begin to experience more of what life God intended for your life. And so today I want to ask you, what would happen if you made that kind of promise? A promise that's irrevocable. Because that's exactly why Josiah was honored and buried as a great king following his reign as a king. So keep in mind, first of all, simple decision. Secondly, unique discovery. The third thing is that we make an unbreakable covenant with God. Say, Lord, I want to make this work no matter what. Which is really what a covenant is all about. I'm going to make it work no matter what because He's more important than me. I want it to be established as a governing part of my heart and life. The fourth thing I want you to see, and we'll wrap this together, because in chapter 23, and then I want to bring you to this table. In chapter 23, beginning in verse 21, then the king commanded all the people, saying, celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God, as is written in the book of the covenant. And then he goes on to say, verse 24, moreover, Josiah removed the mediums and the spiritus and the teraphim and the idols and all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might confirm the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all of his heart. Here's what I want you to see. When you see what Jesus says to you and what the Lord says to you as a command, not as an option. This command was there to direct our lives and His life forever. I mean, can you imagine? He reads the book. He reads Deuteronomy and he hears seek him with all your heart and you'll find him. Teach it to your children and your children's children. And I'm going to tell you, we have such a big responsibility to teach those who come behind us to learn how to follow Jesus no matter what. And this, the uniqueness of this, I mean, think about this. Here's a guy, the Bible says, there was no one before him like him and no one after him. He was special. And don't you love that feeling in your own heart and life when someone makes you feel special? That celebrates who you are and celebrates what you're about. And what I want you to think about today is this. As you look at this, I want you to think about the uniqueness of these moments. Because Josiah had a unique moment. This is a unique moment for all of us. Because today we have a chance to set aside everything that's not of consequence and to focus in on what is ultimately consequential, and that is Jesus being first in our life. Because this uniqueness that was there, it's all created by following the Lord completely. What made Josiah unique was he made the choice to follow God with all of his heart. And I'm going to tell you what you and I discover. When we make that choice, we set in motion our entire lives. My challenge to you today is simply this. You have to be willing to ask yourself the question, will you turn the right way? And if you're here, and I'm going to tell you, if you've never given your heart to him, I want to encourage you to do just that. If you're here and you've never experienced what he wants to do through you, then I want to challenge you to do that. And today as we take communion, as we launch into 2018, as we focus in on seeking first the kingdom, I want you to make sure you hold that element. And I want you to say in your own heart and mind, this broken body that Jesus died for me, I will live for him. And this blood shed for me, it will purify my heart, purify my mind. You want to help somebody move forward? You zero in on what God wants to do in and through your heart and life. If you do that, we'll change the world. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity today to launch into our entire focus for this year, to seek first the kingdom. And Jesus, you said it so clearly. We don't have to worry about what we're going to eat. We don't have to worry about where we're going to go. We don't have to worry about what we're going to do. We just have to keep you first. And so, Lord, as I think about that, I pray that you'd bless every person that in a moment's going to hold an element in their hands, that it remind them that this communion, this bringing together of the family, is a unique and special moment designed by you. I trust you, Lord, to let it happen in a way that brings honor to your name. Because if every person here simply says, I will follow, it'll change the world. So, Lord, I pray you bless. Bless as we commune. In Jesus' name, amen.